It's Helping Hand. Statewide HPR 1 stations on Fridays. Then it appears online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where our Helping Hand segments are archived. On Fridays, Helping Hand puts the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are learning about the Domestic Violence Action Center. This is an organization that for close to 30 years have been providing legal information and representation to victims of domestic violence. They act as a legal resource to other sectors of the community as well, and they have a lot of resources. They have the 11th annual Domestic Violence Action Center golf tournament coming up. It is Chipping Away at Domestic Violence, April 27th, Waikele Country Club. And they also have a Mother's Day flower sale that will be coming up, the beauty of it all, which we will learn about as we welcome back from the Domestic Violence Action Center. Their CEO has been our guest several times, and we're always grateful to see Nancy Creedman again. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. And for people, I thought maybe this year, for people who have experienced domestic violence, because there's a whole lot of folks, and unfortunately, many people don't even never get it dealt with professionally. That can be one of those issues that sometimes people just live with quietly. And it takes a lot of courage, maybe because of the situation someone's in, to break that cycle. So for people who may have experienced it and never reached out to anyone before, or maybe even people who know that that's quietly going on, give a pitch for the organization and how it just might help.
Well, some people really don't need any support if they're currently safe and have fled the abuse. Perhaps they have moved on and maybe found a new partner or found a new place to live, raised their children as a single parent in a safe household. Amen for that. There are many other people, however, who carry the wounds privately inside. Maybe they want to give back. Maybe they can give back by sharing their experiences with the community. It helps to empower others to come forward. It helps to persuade those who don't necessarily believe that domestic violence is as big a problem as we say it is at the community level. When we have more voices joining us, there's collective strength in the shared storytelling.
And some sort of potential, and I could be wrong, but therapeutic value in telling the story and getting it off your chest.
Yes. For some people, it is very therapeutic. For others, it's triggering.
Right. And so, traumatic, just to go through it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So we sort of explore that with people to see whether it's a good fit for them. They might join us at the legislature to testify in support or opposition to bills that are introduced during each legislative session. So that's always a big help for us. People have used the community's system, and some of the legislative proposals are aimed at fixing the system or strengthening the system.
And so they can speak to what it was like.
Yeah, having the voices of people who've relied on the system is enormously effective and persuasive.
Especially what you're saying, the legislators are hearing from people who actually had to go through it. And so it might really affect their decision about whether to make changes.
Right. You know, we also have one program which is devoted to supporting children witnesses and their non-offending, which would be the survivor, parent. And it helps to rebuild the relationship between the usually the mother and the child, and rebuild the relationship between the survivor and their family members, because domestic violence impacts the entire family,
right,
and certainly has the potential to erode the relationship between the mother and the children. So we try to help create an environment where moms and their kids can rebuild after having escaped and are now living in a nonviolent household, but still the memories and the disappointments and the regrets helps to sort that out.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. Sometimes, I guess I never thought of, there are a lot of periphery problems that I guess domestic violence can come up with. I guess as you were talking, the thing I was thinking of is a child can be almost like a divorce, somewhat caught in the middle if they don't know exactly what's happening too. Right. And so that puts them in a, you know, it's like mom is saying, you know, your dad or whatever is doing this to me. And if the kid hasn't seen, yeah, I can see, I mean, there's like a myriad of issues that can right. come up because the child may not know but wants to be supportive, and it's an awkward spot to be.
It's a very, very difficult spot for children to
be
in.
Be like in between your parents, sort of.
Right. Yeah, or afraid of one parent,
right?
Which has other kinds of impacts. If the family is going through, or the couple is going through, let's say, family court and a divorce proceeding, or even if they haven't been married, but there's a paternity proceeding, and the abuser wants to see the children or have custody with the, mm-hmm. of the children or visitation with the children, and the children are scared, terrified. The abuser sometimes blames the mother for alienating
right.
the child from
turning
him,
the kids
which
again.
Is yeah, which is not accurate or fair. It is really the child's experience that they don't want to be with the abuser.
So these are just a handful of some of the yeah. reasons that you might want to, you know, yeah. if you're having any of this, if any of it rings true, and you think, wow, there are people who understand. Mm-hmm. What's happening or what happened. Mm-hmm. So that it gives you, that's a good way of that's a very subtle way of describing uh-huh. the myriad of ways that somebody listening could find a some sort of service that maybe you didn't know existed with these guys. It does, and I've asked you this before, when 50 states in the country, do we have a higher rate of domestic violence? Is it looked at like that as an issue, or is that the kind of issue? It's just there's domestic violence everywhere, and we're trying to get rid of it.
There's domestic violence everywhere, and we're trying to address it. We're trying to support our island families. We don't have any impression, any sense, any data that suggests that the problem is bigger here in Hawaii. We've got a big problem, but so do communities across the country.
Right. Yeah, it's just everywhere, yeah. everywhere where people are, I guess,
yeah.
this issue follows.
Yeah.
And one thing that definitely has kind of exploded since we last spoke, the whole sexual assault misconduct issue, which is right. the kind of thing that, and I had a guest on recently from this rock band, Queensryche, or he used to sing with them, and he's very, like, socially conscious. And he was like, you know, but the way technology moves, sometimes an issue like that one, which could have been festering for a long, long, long time, right. can now... It's
catches on fire.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. it's like happens very, very rapidly, can evolve. And so I was just, because it's constantly in the news in different ways, I've been curious about your thinking on its handling by the public, and how is this... you know, what have you been thinking about it, just because you have such a related sort mm-hmm. of issue?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a lot of gratitude and a lot of respect for the people who come forward. There are so many people who are exploited in different ways and harassed in different ways. And we see all these behaviors along a continuum. So what may have started as inappropriate remarks may turn into... inappropriate touching, which may turn into insistence and actual assault. Domestic violence is not unlike that. It may start with name-calling, may escalate to something a little bit more serious, and then may become a pattern where the victim in the relationship has no control over their own decisions, choices, options, freedom, and freedom of movement. So as a community, we have to talk about all of these issues and keep encouraging people to understand that there are people like you and me who are willing to listen and willing to help them feel empowered and supported to move forward.
Are there double standards at work at all when you have a large number of journalists, doctors, actors, some government officials who have all ended up having to step down in some way from whatever position it was that they've got following these allegations. Yet the president of the United States, he seems to have a number of similar sort of allegations against him, you know, at least from the layman's looking at it from the outside and just talking honestly about these issues, seems to get away with denying all of those accusers and continuing at the job like nothing ever happened. Is that a double standard, or does someone in that position with these allegations get a little bit more wiggle room or clearance?
No. No wiggle room, no clearance. Everybody is accountable for the behavior. I think the issue, the challenge really is who holds him accountable. If it were at the community level, we'd be holding him accountable. It's at the congressional level. I don't see them holding him accountable, but that's what my hope is, because he is a role model and an example for everybody else who thinks they too can get away with it.
And that sort of stuff does have, it would seem like it would have a trickle-down effect, that if the absolute top leader of a country behaves in a certain way, that there would be some level of people who would be impressionable to then follow suit with that behavior.
Yeah, absolutely.
On one level or another. So it's just an interesting time that we live in because of the information and the sharing of information, and then these topics that at some point were, you know, and that's kind of, I guess, how I introduced you. And there's probably a lot of people living with it, and they have a very hard time coming forward to talk about it, you know, because it's a, you know, knowing whether you're going to be whether someone will believe you,
right,
or whether someone will you know,
or you'll face retaliation or more harm or harassment. There are a lot of risks to coming forward, so people don't do that easily. They don't do it impulsively. Usually people, when they do come forward, it's been after a long period of time where they have tried to do what they can individually to stop the situation or change the situation.
And they can.
So this they is can't.
Last ditch effort. Right. It's like, well, I'm going to have to do what I have to do.
Resort. Right.
I have to get the cops involved. And so, and before we get into some of the levels of the way that you guys help people, the funding that you guys are provided, because there's a lot of services that they offer. We're going to highlight some of the ones, and you're going to think, man, that stuff costs money.
Right.
Where do you guys get your help?
Well, we have, fortunately, revenues from the federal government, the state government, city and county of Honolulu, private foundations, generous donors, events like the Chipping Away at Domestic Violence and the Mother's Day flower sale, client fees, sliding scale. So we try to piece it together every year. It's a different combination of resources. But we're anchored in the community. The community needs us. There's no going back. So we just forge ahead, trying to entice people and foundations and government agencies to support the very important work we do.
And so some of the services, so if somebody comes to you, it's, let's look at one of the more common ones that cost dough from on your end that you end up getting to do. So if somebody needs help, you're in the courtroom with
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And if people, you try to, you mentioned the sliding scale. So there's a, explain how that would work. So if somebody, because that may be another barrier to holding someone back to come to get service, right? Because somebody's like, I'm nervous. I know this is going to be in the courtroom if I go to do this.
Right.
And that caused dough.
Right. So not all of our thank you for helping me clarify that. Not all of our services cost money. Our legal representation costs money because it costs money to deliver those kinds of services. We have many programs that don't cost the survivor a penny. It costs the Domestic Violence Action Center money, and it costs the state money, but it doesn't cost the survivor. So an example, we have a partnership with the Honolulu Police Department. It's called Safe on Scene. When the police are called to a domestic violence incident, they will let us know that they're responding, and we will send an advocate to meet them on scene, which means the survivor can then have the support of a compassionate, non-judgmental voice to help them sort out what their options are, what their needs are, what their next steps are, while the police are doing an investigation and securing the defendant or the abuser. We have another program in partnership with the University of Hawaii, Campus Survivor Advocacy Program. We have advocates on campuses to help those students who are enrolled in school who are victims of domestic violence or stalking or dating violence so that they can successfully complete their academic pursuit and be safe while doing it.
And that's like, according to that study that came out, like because I actually read you your quote. I read it on the air, you being quoted in that. It's approximately 1 in 10 people at UH Manoa experience some sort of threat or
Correct.
Or something like that relating to domestic violence. And then half of all people in a one in five of all people in a partnered relationship, which is
sometime in their lifetime.
Right. And so that's pretty serious stuff right there. So anyway, not to change our gears there.
To digress.
So we're talking about ways that things like don't cost dough. Is that what
you're saying? Correct. So then we have another program, which is called Expo, which are staff at a family court assisting every single person who's filing to obtain a restraining order. Taking that kind of a step is very frightening and very unfamiliar. So we help them think through what do they need to put on the petition, what do they need to create a safety plan for after the petition is granted, what do they need to do to come back to court, to face their abuser, which is a part of the process. In a courtroom, in a temporary restraining order proceeding, the parties are sitting very close together. To face your abuser in the presence of a judge and say what has happened to you, I mean, it's almost stifling the fear. So we accompany people into the courtroom. We also provide legal representation for those people who need it. Not everybody does, because the system is designed to make it possible for a person to proceed. But to have company and somebody who understands and somebody who supports you and somebody who will stand beside you as you're facing your abuser makes all the difference in the world. That doesn't cost us, that doesn't cost the community of survivors anything. They have the benefit of that assistance without paying a nickel.
And some of this is supported by people like the United Way, right? They
Correct.
Help support,
Along
in fact,
Way.
Uh-huh. the, because I just had them on and I was looking at the tremendous list of folks that they're helping Right. and it's most of the people that I talk to. And so Right. they help with that expo.
Correct, they do.
That
yes,
is
I do.
Uh-huh. The area.
Also, people in the community can designate the Domestic Violence Action Center through Aloha United Way, because we're mm-hmm. a partner agency. So they can do it through AUW. And
earmark it for you guys.
Earmark it for us, right.
Right. No, it's a cool thing, and that's an important way you just described it. It's an invaluable resource to have that, mm-hmm. To have somebody standing by you.
Mm-hmm. The other program that we are really proud of and is very important for the community and doesn't cost anything is our Teen Alert program, where our staff go out and help young people understand what is a healthy relationship, what are the red flags that would signal a dangerous relationship. Mm-hmm. We have a teen advocate who helps work with young people who are already experiencing dating violence. We're trying to protect the next generation from experiencing a lifetime of abuse or trauma. So we've got a lot of programs that are in response to what we have learned over the last 30 years. Getting next to our community and trying to figure out how does dating violence and domestic violence and relationship violence show up? What kinds of program services do we need to design? All of our program services are unduplicated by other community agencies. So this is all we do, is focus on dating and relationship violence. That makes us fairly unique. Most other domestic violence programs are embedded in large social service agencies, so they do a variety of things. That may be an advantage, or it may be a disadvantage.
Right. No, but your focus is 100% on this. And some of those ways that when people support you, the things that are funded by their support, the legal helpline,
right.
which I imagine, talk about reaching right out to someone or having an avenue that, what are the hours, by the way, on that?
The helpline is open for business 8:30 to 4:30 every day. We get calls from survivors who really need immediate answers to questions they have to resolve. We also get telephone calls from employers who have employees who are suffering the harm of abuse and try to figure out, well, how do I support this person? What does she need or he need to do next? What advice or consultation should I be providing to them so that they can be the best employee they can be and be safe? We get inquiries from healthcare practitioners who see patients in their various practices or clinics. We have a partnership with the Queen Emma Clinic at Queens Health System, where we have an advocate on site at QEC. So that we're trying to go out into the community, make it easier for people to encounter somebody from the Domestic Violence Action Center so that they don't have to make another stop or make another decision or make another choice about who to ask for help. So we're out on college campuses, we're out at police scenes, we're out in healthcare, we're in schools. So we want the community to know that we are available to answer their questions, provide them information, and stand with them when they're making the hard choices.
Yeah, and that's literally what you're doing there when you're standing next to them in court, too, with the suspected abuser just feet away, essentially. Right. There are a couple ways that folks can give back, in addition to just giving back on their own at any, you know, without having a an incentive kind of thing. One incentive is a lot of folks like to golf in the community. The Chipping Away at Domestic Violence, Waikele Country Club, 11th annual golf tournament that you've got, which benefits all of your programs.
Correct. Yes.
That's something that people, even if you don't like golf.
You could give us a prize, because golfers love prizes. So any business that wants to donate restaurant certificates or golf bags or golf balls or t-shirts or baskets or spa days, all those are excellent prizes for our golfers.
Any kind of great prize, that's a way to help out. Obviously, even if you're not very good at golf and maybe you wanted to give it a shot, that's a cool way to introduce yourself to it with a lot less stress. Say, hey, I'm doing it for a good cause. It's not about me making a fool of myself out here.
That's right.
And then there's also, can people just make a donation in support of that?
Yes, they may.
Right.
Of course. You can go to our website, www.domesticviolenceactioncenter.org, and see our array of programs. Go to our donate page and make a contribution just generally to the organization or to Chipping Away at Domestic Violence.
Or you share it with people is another invaluable way, because there are a lot of people who
Absolutely.
Aren't hearing this who do play or who have prizes that
Absolutely.
Could be used for it or maybe who have had a domestic violence experience and want to give back and know that they'll just feel better making that kind mm-hmm. of commitment back. Maybe they've even, and also when you've been around since 1990, right?
Correct.
You have a lot of people out there who may fall into that category of of saying, you know, they were there for me and I'm going to help them with this golf tournament.
Yep.
Or another way to help out, which is something that goes beyond golf in terms of just about everybody can understand and relate to, Mother's Day flower sale, the beauty of it all.
Yes. So a few years ago, we thought, you know, mothers are often the victims of domestic violence. We should lift up mothers and honor mothers for the many ways they try to protect their children and create a safe family. And so we devised the beauty of it all, a Mother's Day sale. Even if you're not a mother or your mother is not present, your coworker might be a mother, your auntie may be a mother, your auntie may be like a mother to you, your grandmother, your next door neighbor. It is a way of recognizing the incredible role that mothers play. Most of the clients at the Domestic Violence Action Center are mothers. We help people who are mothers and who are not mothers. But the point of this undertaking is to recognize that mothers are key to the safety of children, and mothers deserve to be lifted up for what they have been traumatized by and their commitments to moving forward after fleeing abuse, which is no small undertaking. Our system still does not work the way it might. And the people who are vulnerable to that are moms. So we want to celebrate moms at Mother's Day.
And so what is it? People buy the flowers at a certain?
Yeah. So we have, it's a pre-sale. So we sell anthuriums from the Big Island, a dozen anthuriums, small, medium, or large, and orchids in advance. And then we deliver them, or you can pick them up at Fort Street. We'll start promoting that probably in February We've got a few other things. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, so we're trying to focus on raising everybody's awareness about teen dating violence and the ways in which everybody can lift the veil on teen dating violence, because that is a confusing issue. When people are experimenting with dating and intimacy, they might misinterpret possessiveness as love,
right,
and be flattered by it. That isn't necessarily, for us, that's a red flag. You should be able to go where you want to go. You should be able to talk who you want to talk to, address the way you like, and not be expected to tell your partner where you are or with whom you're with all the time. So there's a lot of things to sort out around dating abuse.
The and just quickly back to the flowers. So people who want to do this, they can go to your website, make the order there.
Yes, they can. And not quite yet.
Not yet, but that's where they'll be able to find it, and that's how they'll be able to. And then from there, either have it delivered or be able to pick it up.
Correct.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing me back there.
No, it's I just want to know about it, because it's also the kind of thing that that a lot of people could just do in honor of their mother,
right,
or like you wisely put it, just there's lots of moms out there, and you could think you can do it in honor of all kinds of other people that you know,
right.
And so it's a real, I like that it's open for many people to take advantage of. And one other question before I give this contact information: the Neighbor Island Helpline operates at the same 8:30 to 4:30.
Correct.
This is how you get in touch with this organization and get your plans set for April 27th for the golf or for the Mother's Day opportunity to give back. DomesticViolenceActionCenter.org. You can reach their legal helpline, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, 531-3771 in the Honolulu area, and from beyond Oahu, 1-800-690-6200. If you have an idea for helping them out, or you want to reach out to the office because you have a particularly large donation or idea of philanthropy that you want to roll their way, 534-0040 is how to do it. You can email them too, dvac@stoptheviolence.org, as in Domestic Violence Action Center. And you can get all the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all the contact information and other interviews that we've done for previous Helping Hand guests at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. And again, the date is coming up April 27th at the Waikele Country Club and the Chipping Away at Domestic Violence 11th Annual Domestic Violence Action Center Golf Tournament. And then, of course, the Mother's Day flower sale, the beauty of it all. A couple of great ways to show your support for the Domestic Violence Action Center. Their CEO, Nancy Creedman, always so kind to come down here and be on Helping Hand and share her resources with others. And it's humbling stuff, you know, when we talk about it. I really appreciate that you're there for people in need. And thanks for always being so kind to come down and talk about it with me.
Happy to spend the time with you and my community.